And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. A little, what is today? Wednesday, right?
Wednesday, like that.
Recap show here on Move the Sticks, and we have the entire gang here. If you're going to look down to the end here, we've got Rhett Lewis, who's bundled up nice and warm. We've got the birthday boy, Bucky Brooks, and we've got Lance Zierlein joining us as well here. So we've got the whole crew.
He's a belated birthday boy. His birthday
was your birthday, Lance?
Tuesday.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I'm a bad friend.
I shouldn't say Tuesday. Well, yeah, that's a podcast Tuesday. Veteran right there.
Yeah.
That's very evergreen strong. Tuesday.
Evergreen.
Yeah.
Keep it evergreen. Let's start with the birthday boy, the current birthday boy, Buck. Big takeaway from the day today.
Javon Kinlaw is a grown man. I know you've raved about him before, but it's crazy, like, being down there watching him in one-on-ones and just watching someone with that kind of length, that kind of power, just trying to envision where you would fit him in any kind of defense. But, man, he just stands out. And I think in these games it's just important that the stars really shine, and he is one of the guys that's been shining.
Lance, since you're the second most recent birthday, you get to go second here. What do you think?
On Kinlaw?
Wherever you want. It's your world.
Well, just
you can go hunting, apparently, with this jacket you got on. Go ahead.
I came prepared. Kinlaw is, he's a different dude. And now when you watch him up close, you do see, you know, I wanted him to be Chris Jones. And then when I see him here, you start to see some of the Chris Jones potential. I think this is going to be pretty mainstream, but I thought Justin Herbert really did a nice job of making the throws he needed to, of showing that he's there's no doubt he was going to be better than Jalen Hurts. He's definitely better than, you know, Steven Montez. But he's better than, to me, for me, all the quarterbacks out here on this field currently. I think he's handling himself well. He's making all the throws. He's getting through all the progressions. You still don't see him do a lot of stuff off schedule. That's not really made for that necessarily here. And that's a question he's probably not going to be able to answer here at the Senior Bowl. But I think he's doing a nice job of maybe performing the way he needs to in front of teams who want to like him, who need quarterback beyond the top 6-7 picks.
Well, it's interesting. Rhett, what do you got?
So I watched O-line, D-line for the most part today. I was impressed with, I was talking to Lance about a couple of these guys. Josh Jones made some nice plays today in one-on-one.
He needed to, by the way, because yesterday watching the tape was not good.
Yeah, I thought he equipped himself pretty well today. And then also Justin Heron, a guard out of Wake. Watched him in the 9-on-7 drill, just kind of locate on the move, pulling a little bit. And just kind of continuing to drive. Also, you know, Lance and I had a funny conversation about this with Kenny Willekes.
His first rep was a winner.
Yeah, sure was. And he kind of wrecked that 9-on-7 drill with some inside penetration. And he had a pretty good rep against Charlie Heck against UNC today. Put him on a top a little bit, spun him around. So we don't know where to put him. You know, I don't know. He doesn't do anything exceptionally well, right?
Athleticism. I mean,
but
it's
man,
not.
He finds a way to make a play.
But you look at the stat sheet, and it's just chalked up.
No doubt. And you made the comparison there with Chris Jones and Kinlaw, which I love. And I think what's interesting is sometimes when you watch a player and it doesn't really click, and you're trying to figure out who he reminds you of. Buck, do you remember seeing Deshaun Hamilton run routes out here coming out of Penn State? Van Jefferson reminds me so much of Deshaun Hamilton.
That's my comp.
Is it really? Shut up. Is it really?
It is, because that's who he is.
That's exactly who he looks like out here running around.
So smooth, the hips, all of it.
Because he's not going to block. I don't think he's going to destroy the stopwatch. He's not going to blow you away with that stuff. He's just a technician. He's an absolute technician out there who's efficient in his movement. And that's what I thought when Deshaun Hamilton was here. You're just like, okay, that guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah. There's something about like craftsmen. We've talked about the guys that have success in the league very, very early. We saw it with Cooper Kupp. We saw it again this year with A.J. Brown. Those guys who kind of understand how to run routes consistently get open as young players. And you can see Van Jefferson is one of those guys.
Yeah, his dad, Sean Jefferson, is a wide receiver coach. I mean,
shocking that he's got great fundamentals and can run routes.
Go figure.
but the thing that really shows up is you turn on the LSU tape, and I mean, he gave Stingley everything he wanted. Mm-hmm. He did it to Fulton once. And he's clearly a guy who is super competitive. Every rep, he considers that a personal affront against his, you know, against his ability to be a great player. So he attacks every rep with a great deal of competitiveness. I really like him. I just I am curious about what he's going to run, and I am curious, even if he runs well, can he extend the field at all, or is he just going to be an underneath possession guy?
He was going up against Darnay Holmes a bunch of reps today. Darnay Holmes, very competitive. 2 days in a row, he's had good days.
That's
even
awesome.
Even if he's given up catches, don't care. He's in phase. He's in great position there. But since I have you here, Lance, selfishly, even though it's not my birthday, it's Bucky's birthday, right. Selfishly, can you give me Darnay Holmes, who is going up against Van Jefferson, talking trash as Jose Lima? Go.
Well, you know, I can tell you this right now. You might get a certain amount of catch, big time catches. Great. 6 yards, nobody care. You get 6 yards, nobody care. Second and four. So next time you get a first down, okay, you get more than 500 yards receiving for a season, one time, then great. Then come talk to me. I was number one cornerback in the nation.
Just end it. End the episode right now.
It's so good. All right, let's get to some of these interviews. That's a highlight. Let's get to some of these interviews. Nabil, you can whisper to me here. Who was this first interview with? Brandon Ayuk, who's not playing this week from Arizona State, but is one of my favorite players in this draft, was medically flagged, so could not compete. But we did have a chance to visit with him, and here's our conversation. All right, Buck, excited to be joined by really one of my favorite players in this year's draft class. I feel like I've been talking about Brandon for quite some time this year. And Brandon, I want to, before I ask you a question here, I had to write my top 50 up, right? So you're in there in a good spot.
Okay.
But I just wrote your summary last night. So I'm gonna give you my scout report on you. You tell me where I'm right, where I'm wrong, what we need to do, okay?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Brandon, start off, one of my favorite players in the draft class. Solid muscular frame, plays an aggressive brand of football. Explosive in his release, attacks leverage of cornerbacks before suddenly snapping off. Doesn't run a variety of routes in this scheme. He's very efficient and effective. Strong hands, can finish in traffic. At his best after the catch, breaks tackles. He can make people miss without gearing down. Those skills serve him well as a returner. Overall, Ayuk needs a little time to develop as a complete route runner, but he's tough, explosive, and adds added special teams value. Where am I right? Where am I wrong? What do you think?
I think you did. I think you were pretty spot on. There were some routes I didn't get to run in my offense, but I definitely think I'm able to run those routes, so that's kind of the frustrating part, not being able to practice this week. But I have some time to definitely show that.
You know, so the one thing DJ pointed out that is always big in the evaluation, your ability to run after the catch. Where does that come from? What is your mentality when you have the ball in your hands?
So I play running back. That was my first position from early as I played running back. And then I just remember talking with some of my coaches, and I just talked about my first year not having as many touches as I would like. So I just had the mentality of every single time I touch the ball, I'm going to go score because this might be the only time I touch it today. So just having that mentality and just my running back background.
I can see that, man. That makes a lot of sense. I stole Bucky's pen to write that down because you play like a running back. And then when you look at you, what you do as a returner.
Yeah.
That ability and that background as a running back kind of seems to make some sense there as well. Just very comfortable in space with the football, making things happen.
Yeah, definitely. The punt returns, kick returns. Kick return is pretty much just like playing running back. You see it when you get to
no
you
fear,
options.
Right?
Yeah, you have options and you just you have to hit the hole 100%.
You know, and thinking about that, the running back background and then being special with the ball in your hands, it reminds me of two people. One, Deebo Samuel, who played for the San Francisco 49ers, and then obviously Tyreek Hill. When you watch those guys play on Sunday, is there anything about what they do that you take in that your game?
So Deebo, I was just like watching him. Just they give him the ball and they give him any type of way they can get him the ball. And every time he touches the ball, he makes good things happen. It's exciting to watch him play. And then Tyreek Hill, just a burner. But also, he was a former running back as well too. So when I watched Tyreek Hill, I watched one of the touchdowns he scored the other day where he was in the slot and he released him at the line and caught it down the seam. So I definitely watched those two guys.
What do you say to teams? I know you're getting this question this week. Obviously, N'Keal Harry there the year before gobbled up a lot of that production in that offense. Your numbers go through the roof this year. Why didn't they make more of an emphasis at getting you involved? We see what you can do now. Why didn't they do a better job of getting you more involved last year?
N'Keal, great player. Learned a lot of things from him, but ever since he stepped on campus, he was kind of just that first round pick guy. So I can understand where it came from. We just want to make sure we get this guy the ball. And I was just a junior college transfer that hadn't done anything yet. So we talk about all the time what we could have been if we had each other. We were playing at the same time, but that was just the way things happened to be.
Were you frustrated though? Like, I mean, we see your ability and your tools. I mean, you've got first round talent. Going through that season, coming off of junior college, and not being kind of that featured guy, had to be frustrating for you?
It was frustrating at times, but just having good people around me teaching me and telling me or how to go about every day. I went through the same situation in junior college. I went into a junior college that had two guys that already had Division I offers, so I kind of sat behind one of them for some time, and then I was able to, when they were left, I had my opportunity to sign my sophomore year. So. It's kind of frustrating just because I know how important it is to have that 1 year leading up to your big year. So yeah. I wish I would have had the big year leading up to my senior year, but there was a reason for everything, and I wouldn't say anything happened for a reason.
You know, when things talk about things happening for a reason, pro program run by Herm Edwards. He had talked about everything that you guys do is like NFL style, practice, the way you go about your business. Yeah. How is that going to prepare you to have success at the next level?
Every single day I practice. I know some programs talking about the NFL is kind of like a soft subject, but at Arizona State, we talk about it every single day. You can't come out to practice and not want to practice today, or a coach will be yelling from the other field. If you do that next year, you won't have a job anymore. If you don't run every route good, a line coach will be yelling at you, like, what are you doing? Like, everything has to be spot on. Everything has to be perfect. And then we just install that mentality of wanting to compete every single day, because every single day in the NFL is a job interview. And next year there's going to be a group of guys, a guy in this spot coming trying to take my job. And it's going to be like that every single year. So just knowing that every single day and just having that, those conversations and understanding that.
You play the game with such passion and really almost anger when you got the ball in your hands. Are you a talker out there, or are you quiet?
No, I'm a quiet player.
Anybody, what do you do when people start talking to you?
It's just kind of, I understand. I played corner before, so I understand what they're doing. So it really doesn't bother me. I like when you're playing corner, it's kind of like you like to talk just because it kind of gets you in that mode. But when you play receiver, I don't play receiver like that. It kind of gets me out of my mode when I get involved in that and going back and forth with corner. So I just try to let my play speak for itself, and then there's not too much to say when you're getting beat up and down the field.
So if there's one area of improvement that you want to make throughout this time up to the draft, what would be the one area that you think you can improve upon?
So like I said, come from junior college. I was playing. You just really had to beat the guy in front of you. There was never. You didn't really have to understand coverages. You didn't really have to understand full concepts. So. I've been working with my people in this pre-draft process and just hammering down on that, and just that's probably my main focus right now.
4.45, higher or lower? What are we gonna get from you?
Lower.
Okay, I just want to see the disdain in this. If you'd have waffled a little bit, I said, okay, I kind of know. But there was literally disdain in your face right there. Like, that was so insulting to you.
Yeah. So the comment, I've literally every single day I watch the combine, just like, yeah. I just hear, like, guys running out the combine, I just hear their voice, hear what they ran. I just hear the guys in the background talking about them, and I just cannot wait to run that.
All right, now we're talking. All right, I'm going to say that now. When you put your hand on that line, that's what I'm saying. He said he's ready to go. We're getting ready to see it.
Ready to go.
All right, man. Hey, good luck in your recovery. Look forward to seeing you in Indy, man.
Thank you.
All right, boys, you get a chance to hear there from Brandon Ayuk. And Lance, I know we've talked about him before, but and Bucky, we use this all the time, talking about competitiveness, toughness at the receiver position. Bucky uses the term craftsman. Just your opinion, Lance, on Ayuk.
Yak daddy. I mean, he is the yards after catch phenomenon this year. And it's funny because a lot of the West Coast scouts aren't in love with him that much. And I'm not really sure why, because I see him get open. I see him work beyond just the short catch and run stuff. But he is really, really good with the ball in his hands. And, you know, I wondered if he was a little, had some Anthony Miller to him, but Miller was more down the field a little bit. But I don't know. I'm a fan. I think he's a good player. I'm maybe not as high as you are. I saw your top 50 list.
I'm a big fan.
You're a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what will help him in the evaluation, we always kind of
tend to kind of have the bump from the previous year. Deebo Samuel's having the kind of impact that he had with the San Francisco 49ers only helps Ayuk, because Ayuk is a guy who is terrific with the ball in his hands. He is going to be a guy that you talk about a yak daddy. He's going to be a guy that absolutely kills it when he has the ball in his hands in the open field.
Well, the interviews continue, because I remember, DJ, when we were talking on the Senior Bowl reveal show, our guy who you were interested in making the wow catches, our guy Gandy Golden.
Big fan.
Yeah, from Liberty, right? Let's get him out there and let's hear your conversation.
All right, Buck, excited to be joined by Antonio. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good. I want to, first of all, go through your recruiting process and walk me through that, how you ended up at Liberty University.
Basically, they just started recruiting me a little bit over halfway through my senior season. They just really came in, you know, they were honest with me. They ended up offering me the day, so they came and watched the game. They offered me the next day. I went down in November to watch their final game. It was just amazing. I met with Coach Gill, met with all the staff. They just really, you know, told me what type of place it was, where I was going to be at. You know, I was going to have to follow the rules, and, you know, just, you know, something about their responsibility kind of, you know, set in with me. And everything from day one was true to the day I left.
You know, and thinking about that, having an opportunity to play at a smaller school, but a school that does have like a very regimented way of doing it, how would that structure of being in a structured environment like that help you going forward?
Just basically, you know, help keep me responsible, you know, hold me accountable for a lot of things, and just basically, you know, just help elevate me just as a man.
One of the things you're known for in the scouting community is the circus catches you've been able to make throughout your career. What do you attribute that to? Is there any kind of a baseball background? Is it a basketball thing? Like, what do you attribute your ball skills to?
I'll say this year, just being on the jugs machine every day, that was pretty much it. You know, we caught a bunch of balls every day, you know, whether it be in practice and before practice, after practice. You know, our coach really made sure we were on the jugs machine, you know. Getting those hands right, you know, it's part of the battle.
You know, the thing about getting your hands right, being a bigger receiver, 6'4", 220 pounds, when you fancy yourself and you do your own self-evaluation, what do you think your biggest strengths are as a playmaker?
My catch radius, that was my physicality.
You look at what you do after the catch. Give me your mentality after the catch. A guy as big and as strong as you are, what are you trying to accomplish after the catch?
The score. I mean, I don't like being tackled either, you know, but most important is getting to the end zone.
While we were talking, you showed me a little video of you and some of the athleticism you can do, backflips and all this kind of stuff. That's great. But to me, as somebody who's bowled over a 200 a couple times and was darn proud of it, how the heck do you – a perfect game and you just picked up bowling? How long did it take before when you started bowling to when you bowled your perfect game?
So basically 2 months I started bowling.
Come on.
In February. I got it in April.
So how did you learn? Like, did you watch YouTube or just go out there and start throwing the ball down the lane?
I always watched. You ever seen it come on TV?
Yeah.
I would watch it then. I always thought it was interesting. We would actually go to bowling alleys for some family gatherings in Chicago when I would go back home. So that and just they built one on our campus. So I was like, okay, this is something to do. So I'm going to go every day as much as I can, you know.
And like how often? Like, were you going every single day?
I would go every day to every other day, you know, whenever I got some time, whether it be one or two games.
That's unbelievable.
That's phenomenal.
Perfect game. That's all it takes. Any other things that you have picked up very, very quickly? I saw something about Rubik's Cube and
yeah, I saw all the these cube other too. Things. I saw the cube. I'm actually working on getting a 4x4 right now. It's a little bit more difficult. I like to say I do a little bit of everything. I love to draw, things like that. So.
What can't you do, man?
I get that question a lot. I guess you would have to just test me on something for me to find out.
Yeah. What did you study? What did you major in?
Graphic design.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So give me post-football career. You get two opportunities. You can join the bowling tour or you can be a professional graphic designer. Where are you going?
How much do I get paid for each one?
You're the one that watches bowling. I don't know what those guys make.
For each one. If I knew how much I got paid, that might help me with the decision.
Okay. That's practical. That's practical. A practical answer. Give me one game to go watch. I watched a bunch of you. Bucky has as well. Give me if I want to get the full experience of what you can bring as a wide receiver, what's the one game I need to watch?
Syracuse. I have another one, BYU.
Okay. All right, I'm in.
I'm all in.
All right, look, it's been fun, man. Best of luck this week.
Sir, thank you.
I love listening to him. He's got a good energy about him, and I've actually been a little bit pleasantly surprised with how well he's run. He didn't finish one rep today, but he was able to separate down the field, and for such a big dude, pretty smooth, pretty silky. I've been impressed just watching him move around on the field. He definitely does not look like somebody that this is too big for. When you go back and watch him against better opponents they played against at Liberty, you saw that as well.
Yeah, he didn't look like a fish out of water, and I think that's the big thing. We talk about small school standouts. How do they compare when they're playing against big Power 5 guys? Does he back down? Does he kind of wilt under pressure? I felt like he's been a guy that has been competitive. It may take him a little while at the next level to kind of find his way, but he certainly has the height, the athleticism, and really the pass-catching radius that you look for at a position.
All right, Buck, it's good stuff. I mean, we've got one more interview we want to throw to, but I'm doing the math here with the number of people in this room and knowing we have one vehicle. I'm wondering who the heck's getting left at Ladd People Stadium. Oh, how are we all going to fit in the car?
I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work, but one guy who would get in the car if we were driving, how about Thomas Dimitroff in the Atlanta Falcons?
What I'm talking about.
Let's hear him talk about building a team.
Here on the Move the Sticks podcast with Atlanta Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff, how's everything going in the offseason?
Everything's good. We're busy. After a season like that, you're busy, right? You look at a lot of different things, not only on the field, of course, but off the field and how we're going to be moving forward.
You know, so a lot of our listeners may not understand the process of, like, how do you do that self-evaluation after the season to then put a plan in place for the offseason?
So, I mean, to break it down, basically, you know, we sit in there with the coaching staff and the scouting directors and myself, and we have what we call 360s, and we go through our entire roster, and we talk about it not only from a scouting perspective, from a coaching perspective, from an athletic performance perspective, to our trainers and our player programs perspective. So it's just a all-in-all discussion about our players.
Okay, so one of the buzzwords that has been kind of bandied about in the sports world is about culture. Mm-hmm. And so you've been in Atlanta long enough to build a Super Bowl contender, a team that played in the Super Bowl and all those things. How do you sustain that culture through the good and bad times?
And that's complicated. And having a coach like Dan Quinn allows you to do that, I think. I mean, Dan is a hell of a football coach. He's a great leader of men. Those guys love playing for him. That is really important. Now, on top of that, you have to be consistent, right? You have to hold people accountable. You have to make sure that there is a check and balance on everything, right? Whether it's a player or whether it's a coach or whether it's an administrator, it is very, very important to stay consistent and make sure that people are held accountable through all of it. Dan is a very positive guy, right? That's what our organization is. To stay positive is very important. You have to change up some of the messaging, of course. Keep it alive and fresh for the players, right? Very important. Not to get into the whole millennial thing, uh-huh. But you know that. You just have to be right about it.
You know, so in thinking about that, because you talked about positivity, in the middle of the year, like, the noise on the outside, the drumbeat is growing, like, hey, Thomas Dimitroff, Dan Quinn may be out. The Atlanta Falcons are struggling. How are you able to stay committed to the plan that you have in place and know that the plan will play itself out?
And that takes, you know, of course you get that, right? We know what we signed up for many years ago, right? And it's amazing. It never changes. You could win a Super Bowl one year, and then the next year you're facing that drumbeat, right? I think Dan and I, again, we really stress how important our relationship is. We are discussing things all the time. We never sweep things under the rug. So whether it has to do with the organization, whether it has to do with issues within the organization that we need to talk to about, we address them right away, and I think it's really, really important in a situation like that. Again, back to Dan staying positive and staying upbeat and preaching what, you know, or practicing what he preached to his players. It was really, really impressive down the stretch, because that's a time when it could have gotten really messy, right? 1-7. And, man, I would go into those meeting rooms, and I'd watch him, and I would walk away and think, that's a special person being able to keep it up like that.
Yeah, it is something special to see you guys kind of bounce back from that. One of the things that we've talked about in previous podcasts with you, we talked about building a team around the quarterback, because you've seen it in a unique way. You've seen it build it with a young quarterback, then you've seen build it around a quarterback getting paid, then having to pay him again. How does it change when you have an older quarterback on a big deal? How do you build the team around that kind of team?
Well, I think it's really important. You have to know where that quarterback is in his evolution, right? I mean, Matt is a really good football player, a very good quarterback, a very good leader for us. And Matt's going to be 35 years old, so we have to be mindful of it. I think Matt has done a really good job keeping himself strong and in shape. Of course, he's really dedicated that way. We need to make sure that we continue to have the right pieces around him. You know, we need to have the right receivers around him, as we believe we do. We like where we are with our running back group. Most important, of course, as we did, we started investing in the O-line, make sure that he is protected the way that he needs to be protected. And, you know, that's going to be really important for us. You know, we took two young guys last year in the draft, brought a couple guys in free agency. You know, people were arguing one way or another that they didn't think that we produced as much on the O-line. I think things are going to come together. I like our young guys, and there's going to be some good battle for some starting positions.
So finally, we've had a conversation where we talk about urgent athletes and how important it is to have those urgent athletes, those explosive players, particularly on the defense side of the ball. When we're thinking about building an ideal defense, pass rushers, corners, how do we prioritize the needs or needs of importance on defense?
Right, and that's another thing, just so everyone knows. I mean, I sit down with Dan and we go over periodically, we rank the positions of importance because it sometimes can change, right? You may at one time think that your corner is your number one important person, and then your rush end, your Leo is the next. It may switch, you know, after a certain season. So where we are right now is we need to continue to get some outside rush, no question about it. We need to continue to have those young corners who we like. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking about both Sheffield. I'm talking about Isaiah Oliver. I mean, there's some young guys that are up and coming guys. Continue to acquire. You know this. Never can have too many corners, right? Because that's going to help your pass rush. So we just need to be really mindful of where we are with this defense. Dan, turning that defense over to Raheem and having Raheem, you know, knocked over to back over to the defense where I'm really happy he's back, made a really important improvement, and it's an impact, right? And I love having him back over there, and it's going to be great watching him this year.
Well, we're excited for it, man. We're so excited you were able to spend some time with us on the Move to Six program. I'm sure we'll catch up with you later in the offseason. Thomas Dimitroff.
Nicely done there, Buck. Good chat there with Thomas Dimitroff, and I'm glad to see the Falcons. I thought made a smart move. When you look at Dan Quinn and Thomas coming back, the way they finished out the year, I don't know where they were going to upgrade. When you kind of look at what's out there, I think that this is a leadership team that's taken this team to the Super Bowl, and they're the same guys that they were then. They just need to tinker and toy with this roster a little bit, and Lance, I think they could be back right where they were.
It was nice to see. Well, they flashed. I mean, you say, oh, wait, that's right. Here's the Falcons with talent on both sides of the ball. And it was nice to see the team didn't quit on them. They continue to play hard, and they do have talent. And I think they're in the middle of the draft. They can find somebody at 16 who can help make them a better team quickly.
Yeah, it was fun to watch them down the stretch last season. Also, or this past season, you know, we got one more look this towards the end of this season when Daniel Jones got hurt at Eli Manning, and won his final start, which will in fact be his final start as a Giant, as we find out, is announcing his retirement, and will hold that retirement news conference on Friday. I mentioned it on our Takeaway podcast following that win over the Dolphins. You know, in my book, he's going to go down as the greatest Giants quarterback in franchise history. You bring two Lombardis back to New York, and you have cemented your legacy as an icon with that franchise and in that city. And I mentioned this as well. Like, you know, this is the NFL's 100th year. We were talking about and celebrating the greatest players and accomplishments and plays and games and teams. If there was a, you know, top 100 list of faces of the franchise, he would be on it, because not many people equip themselves better in that market and as the face of an iconic franchise than Eli did. He gave us two of the greatest throws in Super Bowl history in beating the Patriots. And he's going to be the only quarterback in NFL history to beat the greatest quarterback in NFL history twice on the game's biggest stage.
No doubt. I mean, I think his legacy is pretty much cemented. Thinking about legacies and thinking about podcasts as we sit here, the four of us together, and I think we finally have the team assembled.
Is it?
Where we can go 4-on-4 with the Around the NFL guys.
Oh, they're
any
doomed.
Day of the week.
Doomed, you hear
any
that?
Any day of the this four right here.
We're the big favorites.
They're heroes, really? Heroes, really? You want to go with this four that we got right here?
The only thing I ask,
dream team right here, boys.
If we're doing 4-on-4, I just ask that I get to be the James Harden.
I just
ask that whoever takes the ball out, it comes my way first, and I get to dribble out the shot clock until I get doubled, and then I can give it to somebody else.
For a turnover?
Yeah,
I'm not taking this turnover.
Double? You're not giving it up unless you're tripled.
James will take a turnover. Yeah. I didn't mean to insinuate who wouldn't take a turnover.
I feel like the new addition, we might have found our Johnny right here. Yeah. That's what I feel like. Nice.
One
like
time.
Done. You bring Lima into the mix. Yeah. That's Lima scouting is a segment that is 100% going to happen. Lima
scouting. I think we just found a weekly segment in the path.
Yeah, that's happening. Right. All right, boys. Let's go Rochambeau and see who gets left at the stadium. That's going to do it for us here. From Mobile, thank you guys so much for listening to another Takeaway podcast. Nabil, doing a great job. Wonderful cameraman in the vehicle as well. Bartlett, actually, no. Bartlett's a wonderful cameraman. Yeah, Nabil is a little sketchy as a driver.
It's average.
Yeah, it's okay. But anyways, we'll see if he gets
better.
We love
him anyway.
It's all about improving. All right, thank you guys so much. We'll catch you next time right here on Move the Sticks.